Today I want to talk to you from John's Gospel, chapter 8, the words of Jesus beginning in the 12th verse, actually just the 12th verse. I want to talk to you today about knowing what God wants. How do we know what God wants? And can we know what God wants? The words of Jesus recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, and verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Let me read that again. Then spake Jesus unto them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now Jesus has called himself the light of the world, the illumination of the world. All else is darkness. If Jesus is the light, everything else that is not of him is dark. We have a great many people these days, even within the Church of Jesus Christ, walking around in darkness. How do I know they're walking in darkness? Because they stumble and fall. Because they bruise themselves. Because they bang their toes. Because they're wearing splints. Because they're doctoring their bruises because of the mistakes that they've made. They're walking in darkness. If you've ever gotten up in the middle of a night in a strange room, you know what living in darkness is like. And trying to find your way to the light switch, and it's pitch dark. And you don't know where the light switch is. And you don't know where the dresser is. And you don't know where the chairs are in the room. And you knock your toe against the chair and your knee against the side of the bed. And you walk into the wall, or at least you're like this, looking for, trying to protect yourself. And just about the time that you're going like this, looking for the wall, your knee hits the corner of the bed. You cry out in your pain and your anguish and your frustration. Because here you are, a grown person, stumbling around in the dark, not able to find your way. And that's precisely the way a great many people are living. All of those who do not know Jesus Christ are living that way. And a surprising number of those who do know Christ are walking that way, although they don't have to. Jesus said, I am the illumination of the world. And while it is dark everywhere, if you'll follow me, I'll give you light. And I will show you what's good, and I'll show you what's right, and I'll show you what God wants, and I'll give you the light to walk in it. If you'll follow me, he said, you will not walk in the darkness. You'll not stumble around in the dark, making bum decisions and doing stupid things for which you have to pay. I'll see to it that you don't continually make mistakes. I'll see to it that you don't marry the wrong person, take the wrong job, buy the wrong house, make the wrong friends, do the wrong things, and suffer the consequences. I'll see that that doesn't happen. I'll give you light so that you'll marry the right person, take the right job, buy the right house, live in the right neighborhood, go to the right church, do the right work for God. I'll give you light. You don't have to walk in the darkness. Now let me show you from the scripture what light does. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to just do a teaching this morning along these lines. We're going to look at a number of scriptures, so limber up your fingers. Ephesians chapter 5, reading one verse here, the 13th. Now if anybody's concerned that I may be taking something out of context, I'm not reading verses both sides this morning because we've got a lot I want to read. If you're concerned about that, you have your own Bible. You make note of these, and when you go home, you read both sides yourself. See whether I'm taking it out of context or not. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 13. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, and whatsoever doth make manifest is light. What does light do? Light makes all things clear. The word manifest means to show plainly, to reveal clearly. And light is what does that. Light drives the darkness away so that all things are made manifest. All things, that verse says, are made manifest by the light. Jesus said, I'll give you the light of life if you'll follow me. And you will not walk in darkness, but in all things you will have illumination. You'll have direction. You'll have clear instruction, and you'll know what is right to do. In Psalm 32, and again, I'd like for you to turn with me, please. In Psalm 32, the Lord specifically promises His people from verses 8 and following. I will instruct thee, and I will teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Three words there that I want you to notice. Instruct, teach, guide. God said, I'm going to do these three things for you. I will do it. I will instruct you, I will teach you, and I will guide you. But then in verse 9 he says, but watch out. Don't you resist me. Be not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with a bit and a bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Don't be like that. Be yielded to me. Trust in the light that I have given you and walk in it. Don't make me have to jerk you one way and jerk you another through a bit that's in your mouth. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Why should we rejoice and shout for joy? Because we don't walk in the darkness. Jesus has given us his light, and in that light we're instructed and taught and guided so that we'll know the right way to go. And then in Proverbs chapter 3, probably one of the most familiar passages from the book of Proverbs, beginning to read in the fifth verse, God's instructed us in Psalm 32 that he will guide us and that he will teach us and that he will instruct us in the way that we should go. But he said that we're not to resist him, but rather we're to trust him. How much are we to trust him? Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Hold nothing back. Reserve no area in which you would trust anyone or anything else. Because where you're trusting someone or something else, including yourself, that part of your life is dark. Wherever Jesus is not, it's dark. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Where I am, you'll have light. But where I'm not, it'll be dark. If you're trusting in yourself, if you're trusting in your own wisdom, if you're trusting in your own ingenuity, if you're trusting in other systems, if you're trusting in the things of this world, if you have confidence in anything other than in Christ, you're dark in that part of your life. He says, I'm going to see to it that you don't walk in darkness. You can walk in light because I'm going to give you the light of life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Now, I suspect that that is the problem that most Christians have, and that is we want to lean to our own understanding. We want to look to ourselves, and we want to lean on ourselves, what makes sense to us. For that which makes sense to us is more familiar to us than that which God is teaching and leading and guiding. But the Scripture is so clear that we're not to lean to our own understanding. We're to trust in the Lord with everything that is within us. And then in verse 6, he says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I like that promise. In every way, whether it is the selection of a mate, whether it is the choice of a job, whether it is what church do I go to, whether it is what kind of work do I do within that church, whether it is what do we do as a congregation and a church, how do we move ahead in the things of God. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, what happens if you don't know where to go? What is going on if you don't know where to go yet? Think. There's a promise right here, a mighty promise. He shall direct thy paths. Now, what if you don't know which path to take yet? He hadn't directed it yet. Are you listening? Some of you are listening. Most of you are not listening. He shall direct thy paths. Now, is that promise good? Is that just as good as believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved? Is it just as valid? Is it just as sure and just as certain? If it is, if you don't know which path to take yet, he hasn't directed it. Verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. We have a lot of trouble with that, don't we? We want to be wise in our own eyes and wise in our own sight. And there are always lots of folks, you know, who want to impart their wisdom to us. Fear the Lord. Don't reverence yourself or your own wisdom. Reverence God. Depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. That means good. Now let's turn over to Proverbs 20. And look at one verse here, the 27th. Now let's see how the Lord does direct our paths. How does he guide us? How can we know what God wants? How can we obtain specific light for a specific circumstance? Proverbs 20, verse 27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Now, you might substitute the word light for the word candle, or the word illumination. The spirit of a man is the illuminating light of the Lord. It is God's way of leading us from within. When we come to know Jesus Christ, his spirit comes to live inside us. And his spirit, according to 1 Corinthians 6:17, joins with our spirit and we become one. In our inner man, God lights up our life. It's on the inside where he gives direction and where he gives illumination. The spirit of the man is the candle of the Lord. So many times we are looking for God's direction outside. We go to somebody who moves in the gift of prophecy and we say, "Brother, would you prophesy over me? I want to know what God wants me to do." Oh, that's asking for trouble. It's just opening yourself up for trouble, and many have erred therein. There are those of us who want God to hire a skywriter and to write it in the sky. Or we want to see it somewhere. We want to read it in a book. Or we want to have somebody come to us and say, "You know, brother, I just praying the other night. I didn't have you on my heart particularly, but you just came to my mind, and I was praying about you, and the Lord spoke to me and said I was to tell you thus and so." We want God to speak to us that way. We want him to instruct us that way. Now, God can give direction that way that confirms the illumination that's already on the inside of us. God's way, according to the scripture, to light your way is by your spirit inside you. Now, let me say something to Tony here. Tony, if I was living on the inside of you and I wanted to talk to you, I wouldn't hire me a skywriting airplane to do it, would I? I wouldn't send somebody over to your house. If I was inside here, I'd just whisper it up on the inside and just kind of trickle up from here and trickle up. And the first thing you know, you'd begin to think about that. You'd get a thought in your mind. That's where I'd be speaking to you on the inside. In the same way that here I am standing in front of you, if I want to address you, Tony, I don't go out there and appoint somebody to come in here and see you. I'm right here, so I talk to you. Is that right? The spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord. God lives inside you if you're a Christian, and he speaks to you in your spirit and gives you direction and gives you illumination. Chapter 18 of the book of Psalms. David understood this. David was a man after God's own heart. He understood the principle that we're describing today. I don't know how long it took him to learn it, but he obviously understood it. In the 28th verse, he said, "For thou," speaking to God in a psalm, "for thou will light my candle." I like that. I like that. Thou will light, you're going to light my candle, God. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Hallelujah. What's God going to do? He's going to change my dark to light. He's going to change my night to day. He's going to light my candle, and how's he going to do it? He's going to light it in my spirit deep on the inside of me, and I'm going to have illumination inside me. It's with me wherever I go. Therefore, whenever I'm confronted with choices, I have the illuminator within me. God will light my candle, and through that candle, he will illuminate my darkness. He will drive away the confusion and the doubt and the uncertainty and the darkness that's in my life in every area. And he will give me light, and he'll give me direction, and he will give me instruction, and he will give me guidance. But I've got to trust in that. I've got to lean not to my own understanding, but I've got to have confidence in my heart. I've got to trust in the Lord with all my heart that he's doing that. It's only by faith, you see, that we please him, and it's only by faith that these things become real. Now, while we're around the Proverbs, let's go to Proverbs 11 and read the 23rd verse. The desire of the righteous is only good. Now, this proverb is talking about the longing or the delight which is in the righteous man's heart. The desire or the longing or of the delight of the righteous is only good. But the expectation or the hope or the longing of the wicked is wrath. You can't trust your own heart if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But if you know the Lord in a personal way and you know you've been born again, he's come to live in your spirit, you can trust what's in your spirit. We've got to learn how to trust that. We've got to learn to have the same confidence in what's inside us as the Lord does when he says, you realize what God's saying here? The desire of the righteous is only good. That means it can't be anything else. It's only good. Jump down to the 12th chapter of the 5th verse. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceitful. Deceit. Deceitful. Now that's a big thought right there. How many of you have seen these scriptures before? The thoughts of the righteous are right. The word thoughts here in the Hebrew is a word which can be interpreted plans, contrivances, intentions, plots. The plans that are developed in a man's spirit are what? They're right. They're right. But, Pastor, I get some things that go through my mind that I know aren't right. How can I distinguish between those things that are coming out of my spirit and those things that are planted in my mind by my enemy? Hebrews 5 and 14. Pastor, can I come forward and you lay hands on me and give me an abracadabra and a Holy Ghost and give me name of Jesus or whatever you do? when you lay hands on people and can you solve that problem for me? No. No, I can't. But I can show you how to be solved. Hebrews 5 and 14 says, strong meat belongeth to them who are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. How do we learn to discern between that which is coming from our spirit, which we know is right and good, from that which may be sown in our mind, in the battlefield of our mind, which may or may not be good? How do we learn to discern the difference? According to this verse, how do we learn the difference? Practice by reason of, what's the three-letter word? Use. 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 Now let me tell you something here, beloved. Those of you who have children, when your children get to be 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 months old, you expect them to walk, don't you? They have the physical strength to walk. But suppose you never let them out of the crib. Would they ever walk? They wouldn't walk. You have to get them out of the crib, you have to put them on a good firm place, and you have to encourage them. When they fall down, you have to, what? Pick them up and encourage them again, and start them off again. And by reason of use, they get their muscles exercised and learn how to walk. And so it is with a Christian. By reason of use, yes, you're going to fall. You're going to fall. But Psalm 37, turn over there. Pastor, have you ever fallen? Oh, yes. Yes. Once, maybe. I said maybe. Thank God that's all I can remember. No, I'm just kidding. You know that. Psalm 37, verse 23. But one thing I don't do is I don't go around making mistakes every day. I mean, my day's not filled with them. My week's not filled with them. I don't make major blunders. I just don't. Boy, you're a wonderful pastor. No! No! I just refuse to walk in darkness. That's all. I choose to walk in the light. Verse 23, Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I believe that. Do you? I just believe it. I've chosen to believe it. And he delighteth in his way. In whose way? In the Lord's way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Yes, I've fallen, and so will you. But by reason of use, you will have your senses exercised so that you will learn how to walk in the light, how to seek the light, and how to sense the light, and how to walk in it. But suppose you do make a mistake. Isn't all lost? No. Psalm 18. Let's turn back to Psalm 18 and verse 36. David again, thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. Doesn't anybody want to shout? David said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He said, though he fall, he will not be utterly cast down, because the Lord will lift him up. He said, the Lord will lighten my darkness, and he's going to put a light in my candle on the inside of me. And he said, if I do fall, God will not allow me to utterly be cast down. As a matter of fact, what he'll do is, if I'm about to make a blunder, he'll enlarge my steps so that I don't slip and fall. The words here, my feet did not slip, means I didn't blow it. That's the way we would say that. God You protected me because I sought you and I looked for your guidance and I examined the inside of me and I looked for your direction and your instruction and your guidance and moved on what I thought was you. And if I missed it, you'll enlarge my steps under me and keep me from encountering a disaster. Now, one word of caution. Back to John 8. John 8, 12. I did not emphasize this when we first read it because I wanted to come back to it just now. Perhaps you observed it when we first read, perhaps not. Did you notice that Jesus established a condition? He established a condition for us if we do not want to walk in darkness, but we want to walk in light. His promise is conditional upon our doing what? Following him. Now, in my way of thinking, following is the opposite of leading. Following means I don't tell him what I want to do and ask him to bless it. Following is I ask him, what do you do and what are you blessing so that I may do it? When I have a light and I'm walking in a dark place, like if I'm using a flashlight, I don't use candles much. But if I'm using a flashlight, I never shine the light behind me. I never do that. Now, you may think that's strange, but this is just the way I've been taught. I've been taught that if you're in a dark place and you want some illumination, you put the light in front and you follow the light. And the only time I've ever put it behind me is if I was trying to illuminate for someone else. Now, Jesus said, you will follow me. Why? Because I'm the light. I'm your candle. I'm your flashlight. And if you get out in front of me, you're walking in the darkness, honey. If you want to hold your flashlight behind you and say, light, come on, let's go, you're in trouble. You're going to fall down and smash your head on a rock. The smart money is on the guy who will put the flashlight in front of him and shine it in front along the path. Jesus said, he that follows me. That means we got to find out where he's going. What direction are you going, Lord? How fast are you moving? We want to follow you. We want to stay close enough to you so that when you change direction, we're close enough there that we can see where the light's moving and we'll move. When the light stops, what do? We just go right around it. We're tired of waiting on this light, right? We just go right around it. We go down a path all by ourselves. Forget that light. That light wants to stay there. Just let him stay there. And somebody's going to do that. Trip and fall. Break his head. I don't want to break my head. How about you? Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Remember, the light is in front of us. And as long as you will follow him, not lead him. I've never known anybody who refused to be led like him. I've had stubborn horses that I've been able to teach how to lead. I've had stubborn cows that I've been able to teach how to lead. I've had stubborn dogs that I've been able to drag along until they finally learn how to lead. But I cannot teach this man how to lead. I can't lead him. He just won't. I have tried. Oh, Lord, how I have tried. I've jerked him and I've done everything I know how to. I've run away from him, figuring he'd catch up. It does not work. It does not work. I have learned, I believe I've learned it well, to not lead him, but to let him lead me. And because of that, I have a real confidence that he orders my steps. I have a real confidence that he enlarges my steps under me. I have a real confidence that my steps aren't going to slide. I have a real confidence that my desires are only good. I have a real confidence that my thoughts are only right. Does that make any sense to you? My senses are being exercised so that I have a real confidence in my capacity to learn the difference between good and evil. And every once in a while, when I get into a situation where I want to push him or drag him or leave him where he is and go on, he will catch me and stop me up short and bring me back to what he's been teaching me for 10 years. And that is, he that followeth me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. But if you insist, or if I insist, or if we insist to run out ahead of him, then we can sure guarantee to walk in darkness and have no light. I choose not to do that insofar as I'm able. I trust that you will do the same. His promise is to followers, not to out front runners. All right? Let me ask you to take a hymnal, please. Rise to your feet.